Let's talk about this former Middletown daycare worker accused of tossing a child like a piece of luggage. That's a quote from the story. How much time do you have to serve in prison if you throw a two-year-old at a daycare center like, quote, a piece of luggage? Attorney Norm Pattis on the show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. So she got 8 years in prison.
Oof.
Suspended after two. So that means if she's good behavior, she gets out in two?
Possibly. I mean, the reporting is difficult. I don't know if the reporter got it right. I suspect it was 2 years and a day rather than 2 years. And why? You never really do every day that you're sentenced unless it's for murder, in which case the law is that you do day for day. In this case, she'll be eligible for parole at 50% of her time. But if she does 2 years in a day, if it's 2 years or less, she won't be. My guess is a shrewd lawyer got her 2 years in a day. The judge wanted her gone for a year, 18 months or so. And he said, let's make it 2 years in a day. It looks better in the paper and she gets out earlier. So she'd be eligible for parole at a year with other good time credits and so forth. I suspect she'll be out in 6 to 8 months.
Holy crap.
For 8 years? 6 months.
So let's explain. Let's explain the nomenclature, a little criminal law speak. This is a sentence of 8 years. This would be called an 8-2-3. 8 years execution suspended after two, probably 3 years probation. So what that means is once she serves the portion of the sentence behind bars, the 2 years, she's got 6 years hanging over her head for the balance of her parole and probation period. Parole is the portion of time that you're out when you're supposed to be sentenced, and probation is time when you're out, but with a suspended sentence hanging over your head. So she'll be wandering around on probation with 6 years hanging over her head. And if she breaks the law, she'll get whacked with a violation of probation proceeding.
The story does lack details. It sounds like the two-year-old hit his or her head on the wall after he or she was thrown, had a concussion. It doesn't say anything about permanent damage. I mean, all of this is horrible. But do you think that she had some priors to get this kind of a sentence, or do you think this is a one-and-done thing, 8 months for tossing a kid first time in trouble?
After we talked last night, I looked at this online to see what I could find out. I wanted to see the video because it seems on its face like a lot of time, given the market in human suffering. And your listeners are saying, what's he talking about? Criminal defense lawyers plea bargain most cases, and 90%+ of cases are resolved by way of agreements. And you get a sense of what the market bears for a particular type of crime in a particular jurisdiction with a particular judge and prosecutor. So, about 10 years into the practice of law, I started making mental notes of what I thought a reasonable offer would be in the case. And in almost every case, within a year or two, I was right. In other words, that's what the price of that used car was. In order to get a number this high, first you have to realize this is a one-off kind of crime. I mean, I haven't seen that before, and I've seen a lot. Second, it's a fair amount of time for a risk charge. I'm aware of a case I was just retained in involving beating of a child with a belt, and the offer there was a year. I was hired to try to get the offer lower.
Like a beating, not just like I'm going to slap you on the hiney?
Well, there are bruises, and there's a dispute about whether the bruises are from dogs or from a belt, and you can't really tell, but there's a witness who's going to say, hey, it was a belt. And, so a year is a lot of time for a case of that sort. 2 years in this case, and the reporting was all over the map. I mean, one reported bruises to the child, one reported a mild concussion, one suggested they both suggested there was no permanent injury. However, the sense of outrage for the parents, you think you're dropping your child off to be cared for in a loving and consistent environment, and then you find out you've got a woman who, by her own admission, was losing it with kids, had issues, apparently The suggestion from the reporting is that she was inappropriate with other children, perhaps not violent to this degree. It doesn't appear that she had a criminal record. Looking at her in her booking photo, she looked traumatized and like she was having a hard time in this business of living. But there was something. There was some aggravating factor in there. Something.
I was looking up, people who got long sentences. And there's a guy in 2023 got 707 years and 8 months to life.
The
8 months is like comical, right? Like, all right, 707 years and 8 months.
Just in case you lived
there. I once had one of those. It was in federal court. The government, it was a gang shooting, and my client, somebody else, murder for hire, blah, blah, blah. And so at sentencing, the judge imposes, the government tried to seek the death penalty, but it couldn't get it as to this guy. It's a complicated approval process for the death penalty. He was a heroin addict, and that was a mitigating factor. But the judge wasn't having it. So she sentenced him to, 7 or 6 life terms and 60 years and 30 years or something. So he and I had become pretty good friends by the time sentencing came around. This was after trial. And she sentences him to 1 life term and, we wince, and he sentences him to a second and he sighs. And when he gets to the third, I turned to him and I said, so-and-so, this is actually pretty good news. He looks at me. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, each time you die, they got to revive you or it's an illegal sentence. So we start laughing, and the judge gets a little bit upset about that, and I said, come on, judge, you have to realize the absurdity of what you're doing, and we haven't sacrificed our First Amendment right to laugh, so move on. In another dark case,
do they pay you? Like, if you get a guy who goes away 6 consecutive life, I think that, what are you going to do to me? Sue me?
Unfortunately, the guy he killed, Confederates, killed him 10 months in, or 10 years into the sentence. So, and he didn't get revived. So it was these are heartbreaking cases. I mean, they're easy to read about, hard to endure. And I don't know how the clients endure them. But here's one with a relatively happy ending. Gang leader, nickname of God up in Hartford. And I learned a lot about murder in Hartford. The gangs in the North End would hire people in the South End to do their hits for them. And the guys at the South End would hire people from the North End on the theory that these people weren't known to one another. So God is on trial, and he is convicted. And it's a hotly contested trial. First trial was a mistrial. Second was convicted. It's time for sentencing. And the pre-sentence report, in other words, the report prepared on who this guy is for the judge, is just chock full of violence. So it's pretty clear he's going to get the max, which is 60 years. So I'd say, this is all on the record. I'm not violating the attorney-client privilege. I ask him, I said, you want to go out with a bang or a whimper? I mean, he's going to sentence you to 60, no matter, even if you transform yourself into Mother Teresa in his presence. He says, let's go out with a bang. So the state stands up and drips vitriol about why he should spend the rest of his life behind bars. And the judge says, Mr. Pettis, and I stand up and I said, Judge, I am reminded of the words of Judas Iscariot on the night that Jesus was, or of Jesus rather, on the night that Judas betrayed him. What thou doest, do quickly. Sat down. So the judge gave him his 60 years, and we got the case overturned on conviction, and the man was acquitted on the third trial.
What?
Sentencing is tough stuff.
You got God out of jail.
Somebody else tried the third case. I can't take credit for that.
Okay.
We preserved the issues and pressed his case as hard as we could, and it worked in the end. Yeah. So.
Holy crap.
So these, sentencing is tough stuff. It's not for the faint of heart. And in a plea case, in the Middletown case, this was what's called an agreed recommendation. The parties got together, looked at the evidence, considered the strengths and weaknesses of their case, whether it could be tried, and if so, what was likely to occur. And this was a number she was persuaded was reasonable. I might have told her to hold out for trial. I don't think she would have done much worse than 2 years at trial. This is the decision she's made, and now she's going to have to live with it.
You see some of these murderers who go in and they almost come right back out. It seems weird that this woman, who probably had no priors, probably had no trouble, as bad as it is. I mean, I'm not saying that this is not bad, tossing...
throwing kids.
A kid. I know it's bad, but I'm just saying there are murderers out walking the streets who did less time.
Yeah.
Not after a conviction. You know, I mean, that's one of the great urban folk myths that I get all the time, and usually from moms. We have a society in our club called the Mom Society, you know, in our firm, rather. And, you know, it's moms who can't believe their children would do anything wrong. And they're brutal. Why my baby? And so the moms constantly say things like what you just said. There are murderers who do less time. And I'll say, well, you know, here's my recommendation. Find the lawyer for that murderer, and I'll give you your money back and go hire him.
That's a pretty good answer.
Or
her.
Yeah. Or in the alternative, show me the case. You know, and people say that, but there really aren't. I mean, you know, I think a good offer on a plea bargain in Connecticut for a murder is 20, something in the 20s. I had a guy who once killed his wife, and he reported a home invasion. Unfortunately for him, as the police arrived, she bled out on the body cam and said, he stabbed me. And so, you know, she was, they had issues in the marriage, and they had a fight one night, and this is how it ended. And the issues didn't break in her favor. I don't want to malign the dead or her family. And so the state was understanding of why the guy did it, but they couldn't accept it or appear to endorse it. So they offered him 27 years in prison, which was a gift for a murder case. In another case years ago, a young man shot somebody in the head in front of three witnesses, two of whom knew him for life. He wasn't a bad kid. He made a horrible decision that night that cost a man his life. the judge after trial, you know, we had to go to trial because the kid just couldn't accept the plea offer, which was in the 50s. The judge sentenced him to 45 years. Which was a light sentence for a murder after trial. One of the jurors called me up outraged, said, you never told us that he could pull this kind of time. You know, why didn't you tell us that? And I said, because the law doesn't permit that. We infantilize jurors. You know, the state gets up and beats on its chest and says, we have to hold the defendant accountable. But we don't tell jurors what actually happens to people after sentencing. So I said to this woman, well, if you knew now, what was the, you know, would it have changed your verdict? And she paused for a moment and said, well, no. You know, and so, you know, I just want to push against the notion that there are murderers out there, you know, who get a slap on the wrist and walk away. Not that I'm aware of, not in Connecticut.
30 Norm Pattis is on. Before you go, what do you think the chances are of successfully suing the Dallas Cowboys for all of the grief they've created in my life for like the last three decades?
Somewhere between 0.0001%. But having said that, I can probably find you a lawyer who'll take it if you want to pay him to play the odds. You know, that would just compound your grief.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about that grief. I mean,
1996.
Yeah. Well, it's football season. I mean, there's a reason to. There's a spark in my step on the weekend. I love college football in particular. And I always work Sundays, so I don't get to see the professional game as much as I'd like. But someday I'll watch pro football, you know.
Did you watch the game last night?
Are you kidding? No. I was cuddled up with a good book. So I've discovered a new author. Readers, take note. The Last Bookstore on Earth by Lily Braun Arnold. She's a student at Smith College. It's one of those books you just can't put down. There's an apocalyptic event. A woman takes shelter in a bookstore, and it's a story about what happens to her as she comes back to life after a catastrophic event. A wonderful read.
Wait, is this like the Twilight Zone episode where...
That's
like,
exactly what I thought of.
Yeah, where there was, you know, they had the H-bomb, and he locked himself... He was in a safe.
But there was time
then
now.
Then he came out, and he was able to read all these books, and then he stepped on his glasses by accident.
It's not like that. It's a far better story than that. It's about loss and taking risks, which, you know, is what defines all of us as adults if you're living with eyes open, you know.
All right, what's the book called?
The Last Bookstore on Earth. I'll tell you what. You buy a copy. If you don't like it, I'll refund your money, all right, and buy the book.
Is that everyone or just me?
No, I could see next, you know, local lawyer goes broke. 3,000 people bought a book. They all hated it. You know, no, just you.
Okay.
Just you. And hey, how's AJ? Have you heard from him this week?
Yes. He's in the hospital right now. He got two big blasts of chemo Monday and Tuesday, one each. Wednesday, they gave him his stem cells back. And we spoke to him. He sounds great, but they say like day 10, you're going to feel like you were hit by a train. And then you come out of it. Once he gets strong enough, they'll let him go home, but he'll have to stay there because he won't be able to, you know, be out in public because his immune system will be low. But he's doing good. He's, you know, he's a fighter, and he's in the last stage of this big fight.
Well, pass along my love to him. AJ, if you're listening, keep your chin up, buddy. We miss you.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. Norm Pattis, thank you.
Oh, boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
99.1 PLR.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News. Dumbass.
Look, it's kids on a plane. Imagine sitting next to these kids. Yep.
Are they kicking me?
Who's that, Austin?
Austin!
All right, first let's do this funny moment from last night's Thursday Night Football. One of the Seahawks didn't agree with being penalized for holding, and he happened to walk by the ref when the ref was announcing the foul.
Jackson Smith and Jigba, who didn't really need to make the hold, was right in front of the
hold
ball
carrier.
Offense.
He
did. Oh yeah.
Uh huh.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. Beautiful.
It's a dopes. I love Al Michaels.
That's my favorite part of the clip.
This is the guy. Do you believe in miracles? Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
He did. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Are they having sex?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That was too good.
That was too good,
Dan.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah. Did. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With that song, oh, yeah. Chicka, chicka.
Yeah. Gonna be the next Kool-Aid,
oh, right,
man.
Right,
Ferris
right.
Bueller.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kool-Aid, man.
Beautiful.
They don't even know what to say. They're like, you know, what did the player say?
Because it was that's tongue. Some bull.
Oh.
But what happened was the ref was making his announcement. He stopped and stared at the player as he walked past them. So that's what they were mocking.
They were replaying. The stare.
Yeah. They're like, oh, see?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Offense number 11.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Offense.
All right. American Airlines passenger duct taped to seat for attacking flight attendant, threatening crew during bizarre, and this is, I know you've heard a lot of in-flight meltdowns. This one could potentially be the weirdest one you've ever heard.
Man, I told you this is ready. You don't know what the I've been through, bitch. You don't know what the I've been through, bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Kill yourself, bitch. Oh, you want to die, bitch. You know what I did? I put bug poison in my daddy's coffee when I was 11.
It sounds like she drank bug poison. First of all, it sounds like she's like admitting to murder or attempted murder.
Yeah.
I like that she bug shifts. Poison. She shifts from I'm going to kill you to oh, by the I did this.
And yeah,
I've done it before.
By the way, I'm going to kill you. And just so you know, I've killed people, and it's nothing to me. I've done it so many. I put bug poison over here. I put bug poison over there.
Yeah.
I'd do it again. It sounds like she drank bug poison.
Yeah. Her voice.
She's been yelling for a while. That was how I interpreted that.
Like 30 years.
Yeah.
Right. She just goes around mad.
Yeah.
Once in a while, she's in a regular mood.
And it didn't work. Yeah. And in DR, we call it trepacito. And there's a song, too, called Trepacito.
Okay, so if you threaten someone with murder, and then you tell them, I tried to murder someone, but it didn't work. What are you saying here? Like, I've gotten better. Like, trust me, I've been practicing. Years ago, I tried the bug spray. It didn't work. I know how to kill people now.
I've learned since.
Okay? Yeah. I'm a professional. I know. Yeah. I've been doing this for years.
And then it's cultural, apparently.
I've made my mistakes. Republic. And I've moved past them. I'm a professional now.
We murder.
Right. She's like, puts bug spray in someone's drink. She's from the Dominican. I guess that means.
Yeah. Oh, and the DR.
I'm a trained assassin.
Yeah.
And now she's going to serenade us, I guess. She's talking about a song.
Oh, really?
And there's a song, too, called Trepacito. You want me to show you? Trepacito, 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 Trepacito. I think it goes like that.
That's not showing, by the way. You want me to show
you? A lot of words.
Unless she's doing a special dance.
Trepacito, 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 Trepacito. I think it goes.
I know what her tactic is now. She's going to get the person to kill themselves. I put bug spray in someone's drink. It didn't work. Now I just make people commit suicide by talking to them.
With a song.
Incessant annoyance.
So if anybody wants to kill somebody, put roach poison. But make sure it's not expired. And make sure you put a lot of it. Because it didn't work for my daddy. He just fell asleep.
Wow.
Okay, show's Jeepers, over. Man. Show's over. Show's over. Oh my gosh, Becky, look at her butt. It's like so big. Oh my god, look at that crazy Puerto Rican. Look at the crazy Dominican. Oh my god.
Which one is she?
Is she trying to say she's not crazy? Like, oh my god, right. Look at that. Yeah, you're crazy. That's why we're all looking at you.
Is her invisible friend Puerto Rican? Because she said she's Dominican.
Now I'm not sure.
I don't know
if she honestly knows.
Yeah, she doesn't seem of a sound mind.
It almost seems like when you're going through the booking process for the plane ticket, somewhere should say, have you ever put bug poison in someone's drink?
Show's over!
Wow.
No.
Would you rather have Austin, who was sitting behind Ruth on a flight to wherever it was, sitting behind you, or this woman?
I'll take this woman.
I'll take this woman, too, you know, because it's entertaining.
It's interesting. Yeah.
It's interesting. It's like, I haven't seen this before.
I also don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glued.
Yeah, it's informative.
And Austin, though, is like a small child kicking the back of your seat.
Yeah.
Over the course of it's like Chinese water torture.
Yeah, yes. That's hell.
Where you just, and you know, back to this story where someone threw a child at a daycare center. Horrible thing. No one should ever do that. However, if you're sitting with Austin behind you kicking your seat for hours, it enters your mind. It just,
I could be persuaded.
It's like, and you never act on it, but you visualize him just flying through the air. Yeah, this is way more entertaining.
Yeah. And
show's over.
Educational.
Yeah, we did. We learned something about bug spray in different countries.
Make sure it's not expired.
Yep.
How much to use.
Yep.
She should actually have a children's show.
Does she work at a daycare?
She should have a children's show. Songs, there's lessons. Today we're going to put bug spray in your daddy's drink and let's see if it works.
Ours.
Actually, I already did it years ago. It didn't work. So
she just needs an intro because we have the outro.
Show's
Dumbass news.
Well, this is
dumbass.
More crazy and unbelievable than dumbass. Let's play the news report first. This is a short version of it.
Flyers warning of an attack squirrel are up in parts of San Rafael, California. That is north of San Francisco. They were posted after at least 5 people were attacked in the neighborhood. Victims say the squirrel came out of nowhere. Look at those wounds. And they say those wounds sent several people to the hospital.
This clomped onto my leg and was just hanging on. His tail was flying up here, you know. And I was like, get off me, get off me. And I kind of didn't want to touch it.
The squirrel went to the floor and from the floor tried to jump to my face.
Squirrels are unlikely to carry rabies. Experts say the aggressive behavior is likely the result of a squirrel being fed and cared for by humans when it was young. So you have somebody thinking they're doing something good for the squirrel.
Don't feed the squirrel.
Then later on in life, the squirrel's like attacking
terrifying.
People. Moral of the story, do not feed squirrels.
Hanging on your arm? You can't get it off?
No.
Terrifying.
Can't shake it off or anything. You know, right. Squirrel.
Don't feed the squirrels.
No.
All right. Dumb anchors, but a really crazy story. And you heard the voice of Joan Heblack and Isabel Campoy. And first, let's talk to Joan. We have them both on the phone. Hey, Joan.
Hi. How are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Oh, just fine. Getting ready to go for a walk to look for squirrels.
With a baseball bat?
Yeah, I got a BB gun.
Got my pepper spray.
I carried pepper spray, but, you know, I didn't bring it out till after the squirrel jumped off me, and I realized, what good is that going to do?
Right. It happened so fast.
Yeah.
You didn't have time to pull it. So what happened? Right. You're just walking along, and the thing was following you, or what happened?
No, I didn't see anything. I just was walking along, and suddenly I felt something hanging off my leg, and I looked down, and there's a squirrel hanging on my leg. And I'm like, what is that? And I'm trying to shake my leg around and hit it, and it's just clinging and biting.
Oof. How bad did you get bit?
It's not that bad. I mean, just like little bites all over my thigh. So I, once it jumped off, I ran home and, you know, looked at what it looked like and called emergency. And they said, oh, I think you better come in. Because, you know, you immediately think of rabies.
Yeah, you never know.
Right. But it wasn't, you know, squirrels don't carry rabies, they said. So that was good.
That is good.
Yeah.
You know, it must have been really just scary. Because if I'm working my wood pile and a mouse comes running, I'll be like, ah!
Yeah, right.
You don't expect to see.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you, know, then you and feel then silly, habit. But it's like, well, that was my first reaction.
Definitely. It's just it's a silly thing.
Were you screaming?
I would have been.
Yeah, I was by myself. No one was around where I was, and I was screaming and waving my leg around. But
man, if there was footage of that,
right?
You'd be famous.
Yeah, we would have seen it. We would have seen the attack by now.
It'd be on all the morning TV shows for sure.
Yeah,
right.
Attack squirrels.
Well, I'm glad everything worked out for you.
Yeah. No problem.
Did you know Isabel before this happened?
You know, actually, I have figured out I know her because I believe she is a children's author. She writes books.
She is.
Yes. Yeah.
She's on the other line. Can I put you on hold? I'm going to talk to her for a minute. I'm going to conference you both together. All right.
Yeah.
Two people attacked by a squirrel in the same park. We have them both on the phone. Isabel Campoy, who's also a children's author, on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good morning.
So tell us what happened to you.
Well, I am still trying to figure it out because this has been such an unusual event. My niece had arrived from Spain the previous evening, and she was some sort of jet lagged. And I said, let's go, and the sunshine is going to really wake you up. So we were walking in the street parallel to the one we live in, and all of a sudden I saw that a squirrel was following us. And of course, you know, the beautiful heart looking at the squirrel that follows you says, look how beautiful, how nice it's following us, until it jumped to her leg. Exactly what happened to our neighbor. It jumped to her leg. And of course, she started screaming, and I went to her. But by then, she was able to push it out of her leg. And by then, I was close to her. The squirrel jumped to the floor and from the floor tried to jump to my face. Ooh. And so I put my arm in front of my face, you know, to protect me. And there it just got hold of me. And there was nothing I could do to shake it off. And of course, it was in part the fact that I was moving my arm right and left and up and down. The squirrel tried harder and harder to stick to me. And so the wounds I have 16 wounds all over my arm, deep. And the blood by then was obvious. So we ran. We didn't ask. We ran directly to the emergency room. And a week after, I am still trying to figure out what was that.
Is this going to be your next children's book?
Don't feed the squirrels.
Yeah, I have a little problem with the happy ever after end of children's books, you know. I don't think that this can be a happy ending when so many people have been attacked and it's a dangerous situation. This is actually my need, that people will be aware. At the emergency room, the doctors told us that 5 years prior, they had the same incidents in the same area, and it was due to the fact that there were remnants of drugs in the water, and these squirrels had drunk out of that, and they were drugged. I said, oh my God, this is a novel.
That sounds more you know? Likely than people feeding them and then them attacking people.
I like right away, she's like, I got to make a book about this.
Yeah. The horror book, Stephen King.
Yeah, a drug a squirrel makes it home. You know, it is a very unsettling piece of news, because the other part is it could very well be what the experts are saying, that too many people feed them. When they get tired of them, they let them free. They don't know how to look for food, and then they follow humans that have been the people.
I think it's the drug factory. They're drinking from the drug water.
I like crackhead squirrels.
They're like crackhead squirrels. Right, that's it. That's the book title, Crackhead Squirrels.
Let's not bury the lead here. We haven't. We haven't. They made a movie about the cocaine bear. You got something here.
That's right.
From the people who brought you cocaine bear. Crackhead squirrels.
I will... I will be open to provide a co-authorship to anyone that comes with a great title.
Okay, we'll have you back, and we're going to work on titles. This our tribe, very good at titles.
Yeah, I mean, a title is such an important part of a child being attracted to the content. So it is very important. But yeah, this was very serious, and in a week that was an extraordinary difficult week for all of us here in the family. So the fact that we had to add to the events a squirrel was nothing in the script.
All right, so Isabel, we're having you back.
Definitely.
I love it. Well, I want to talk about your children's book, and then we're going to come up with a title for this Attack of the Killer Squirrel book. but before we go, I want to conference you in with Joan. Isabel, Joan, Isabel. They were both attacked by a killer squirrel.
Hi, Isabel. Brothers. I realize I know you. Do you remember who I am?
Of course.
You used to sit next to me at chair yoga.
Exactly. We have done chair yoga together. Yeah. With Joan here. Yeah, in our community.
Maybe exactly. It's the lotion you use after the chair yoga that these squirrels are like freaking out over.
They're on edge.
But it's interesting that Isabel's talking about a drug squirrel, because I've never heard that angle. I heard that the squirrel has a nest in one of the trees of my neighbor, and he has seen the babies up in the tree. And that is why the squirrel is so crazy, because it's protecting its surrounding area.
It's a little overprotective, I think. It's a little
exactly.
Much.
Yeah.
I'm going with crackhead.
But that's a story I had heard.
Well,
but anyway.
Joan, thanks for coming on. Glad you're okay.
Welcome.
Isabel, thanks for coming on. We'll have you back, and we're going to come up with that title. I'm glad both of you are okay.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Isabel. They were both attacked by a killer squirrel. All right. Time now for Commander Keith's top five.
Jazz and AJ. Boss Keith. Top five.
Okay. It was a big week. But first, I hope everyone took my advice from last Friday's list and got to those fairs early. I hope they listened so they had a good time and didn't get stung by bees.
Okay, Guilford was nuts at noon because of the weather. It was overrun at noon.
But was it okay at 9:55?
I was not there at 9:55, but it was too busy at noon, so there was something to your list.
Did you see any bees?
No, I didn't see any bees.
Did any of you see bees over the weekend? A lot of you were at Guilford.
No.
There were bees, guys, and you just weren't looking. Were you near trash cans?
No.
That's where the bees are.
I try not to stay near the trash cans.
Well, today's list is really the top five things that mattered to me this week. So hopefully they matter to you. We'll see. Number five, hunting wives. This is a big This is a big Netflix show from over the summer. And everybody told me that I should watch it, right? And I decided to watch it. But it's basically the 1980s soap opera Dallas, but with nudity. And it isn't a little nudity. It's like all the nudity. How is this a real show? And this is a real, you can't watch with anyone home show because it's so much nudity. So my daughter, who's 13, was like upstairs getting ready for bed. And this show's on and it's like moaning and madness. And I said, I have to turn this off. I have to watch something else. I'm not recommending the show. It is tremendously bad. The acting's bad. Everything's bad. But boy, oh boy, if you're into nudity, it is so much nudity.
Yeah, I saw the whole season. Trash.
It is. That's exactly what it is. It's glorious. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Did you notice the nudity?
Yes. It's hard not to notice the nudity.
Did you watch episode 7?
I watched all the episodes.
Well, episode 7 really stands out. That would be the episode you would say, oh.
What happened?
How do I say this without getting fined? The two women, it becomes like a whole real time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Again.
You know what? That was my favorite episode.
Ruth, you watched it?
Of course I did.
Do you remember episode 7?
Now that you explain what it was. I watched it a couple months ago.
Anyone listening could just go watch episode 7 so they get a sense of what I'm talking about. But, yeah. Woo, what a show. Number 4. To completely switch topics, my daughter did her first college radio show this week.
Oh, wow.
So as many of you know who have been listening, my daughter has gone to college.
Bring the tape. We need to critique.
Right. So I'll be honest. It was clunky. I mean, it needs work. I've sent her notes. You know, people get mad at
you
us for playing.
You sent her notes.
While it was happening, I was live air checking.
Not helpful, by the way.
Horrible.
And nobody.
Right? It is the worst thing. This is the worst thing.
Now, she gets to pick her own songs, right? So people get mad at us for playing too much Van Halen or whatever, but in her two-hour shift, she played 6 Taylor Swift songs. 6. Like, where's the artist separation?
No
what
one,
are we doing?
No one needs that.
Right, too much. 3 Noah Kahan songs. I said, this scheduling, while texting while she was on the air, this scheduling is garbage. The system's broken. Like, songs are stopping and starting. I was like, is this you? Is
Can
it
you
them?
Read some of the texts that you sent to her during that?
I do not want to read them.
Really?
Yeah.
Come are they on, that bad?
You already like, opened it.
This looks bad. This sounds bad. You need to call somebody.
She's
is
learning.
Is there an engineer?
What?
She's And then in the middle, some dude shows up.
So, what, a technical problem?
There's technical problems. At least I think there are. If this was happening
here...
You were
listening on an app?
I was listening on the website of the radio station.
Oh, okay. No.
So
you're
all of a
freaking
sudden,
her out. The show probably sounds great over the campus, but you're freaking her out about a problem that people in Connecticut can't hear you.
Right.
Okay,
so
got it.
Then all of a sudden, there's another dude on with her, and he's like, test, this seems to work. And I was like, who's that? She's like, it's the guy you told me to call. I was like, ugh! This is terrible.
You couldn't wait until she got off the air.
No, she needed to hear in the moment.
Did you send anything positive?
No. There was, I said, your voice sounds good. She said she was on the mic.
Good.
You know how some of these guys, they're like over here.
Right.
Like she was truly on the mic. I mean, she's a deacon. So like she knows how
she
to speak.
She better be on the mic.
Yeah, right.
You know what would have been better? You should have just called.
Oh, I could have called.
You should have called and done all this live. How long until she hung up on you?
Number 3. It is about to be my favorite time of year where Chaz fake cares about the Yankees again. Get excited. It's time.
That's right.
It looks like it's going to be Red Sox-Yankees first round.
The Yankees might win the division.
Yeah, and then it would be Red Sox-Yankees because Red Sox
would get a bye.
oh, they would get a bye. Well, who knows? But I like the idea. Red Sox, Yankees, 2 out of 3. All of those games would be at Yankee Stadium, and the Red Sox have no stars or anyone good. So I think like book your tickets for the next round, because I don't feel great about these Red Sox moving forward. Or your New England Patriots, who I think are going to win no more games. So it's not a great year. But at least for Dallas, that guy can kick from like a field goal from like 700 miles away.
From Rhode Island.
right. He really can. Bad college radio there. Number two, Foo Fighters. So this was the most significant event of the week, but I'm conflicted about this, and I'll tell you why. Cool, small show, $30, all of it. But if I'm the guy that bought tickets to Sound on Sound last year, aren't I super mad?
You are. And you called me multiple times this week.
I'm a guy. I have a real job.
Yeah.
Right? I can't like leave early at the spur of the moment because Lappy told me to go get in line.
It's like I'm reliving the call.
And I'm like, wait a second. They promised me a real makeup show that I could like go to, and I can't leave
no,
work
they didn't.
And get in line.
When did they promise a well, makeup they, show?
Like, don't,
Who's I, they?
The man or whatever. Like
what
the,
man?
The management company. Silva, John Silva's
never,
management company.
Never.
It feels like they promised something.
Never.
Doesn't
we,
it?
We
there
felt
was no
owned.
Promise.
I felt promised. So now I can't get in line because I got my real job. I don't know. I feel bad for the guy. No, I actually don't. I had a great time. So whatever. Sorry, pal. But like, it's my life policy. But like, I think they should come back and do a regular show for the people that missed out the last time. That's what I think should happen. And no show should be 3 hours, by the way. I don't care how good you are. 2 hours. That's it.
That is Keith only. I was happy. I
3 hours is too long.
I agree. I'm not a long show person.
2 hours at the absolute most. And enough with the deep cut. I have thoughts, but I had a nice time. I had 3 counterweights, and then I went home.
Yeah, they do the job.
Yeah, like it was fun.
Did you stay for the whole show?
God, no. Yeah, sorry, guy. Couldn't get the tickets.
Sucks.
I saw all the way to This Is a Call, and I said, I'm good here.
Oh,
I
looked at, my God.
I looked at the set list from DC, which was the exact same set list, despite them pretending they were like winging it. I said, yeah, I've seen Everlong before. I don't care about these deep cuts. Like, I'm good. I'm out of here.
Winnebago.
I don't care about that.
Queenie, Bean.
Like, I'm good. I heard a majority of the hits. And by the way, if I didn't, we're going to play them today anyway. It'll be fine. I hope you guys had fun.
I had a great time.
Poor guy couldn't go, but every dickhead in this building got to go. It's not right. Number one, autumn. People love autumn. It's burr season. That's what the internet calls it now. September, October, November. It's stupid.
Oh, I thought literally the things that hitch onto your socks when you walk through.
No, burr. So it works on two levels because burr, like chili, and burr because it's the end of it. It's dumb. I hate the internet. And people like pumpkin spice and cozy. None of these things. It's already dark. Have you noticed? It's dark
yes.
at like 6:58. So last night, I sat on my couch at 7:45 and I fell asleep. I was asleep at 7:45 because the goddamn world, it's nighttime and it's the fall and I
no,
hate
it's
it.
Because you're old and you went out.
That's
to
not
a
why
concert
I left
this week.
At 9:30.
It had nothing to do with the counterweights. That's for sure.
I only had 3. It's not many. Next week is October 1st. Then we're buying Christmas presents. Then I gotta worry about people not getting to work because of blizzards. I hate it. I want it to be July.
But the bees.
Right, I don't like the bees. Right. Okay, right. It's a trade-off, Bill. I don't know what to do. That's it. Those are the 5 big things that happened.
Thank you.
Bye.